Melissa Oden is a survivor.
I'm the other survivor that we usually don't hear about. But the reality of my daughter's life is that she wouldn't have had life because my own biological mother chose to end mine.
Melissa survived a saline abortion.
They've said I was a liability. It would have been much easier to just let me die.
And now she's speaking out.
Never about someone's choice anymore. It's about somebody's right to life.
This is a Life Issues radio special, Snatched from Death, Melissa's Story, with your host, the Executive Director of Life Issues Institute, Brad Mattis.
Melissa Oden's account of abortion isn't one you hear every day. It's a miraculous and emotional tale of survival. I had a chance to sit down with Melissa at her home in Sioux City, Iowa, to hear her unique story.
On the surface, I think if anybody passed me along the street, they would think that I just look like any other 30-something mother, wife, full-time worker who does a good job day-to-day with being a social worker and being a parent and being a wife. But what most people don't know about me is that I'm also a pro-life speaker and I'm a survivor. And that isn't something that a lot of people know about me if they just pass me on the street.
Now specifically, you're an abortion survivor in quite the literal sense.
I'm the other survivor that we usually don't hear about. Most people, if I were to tell you or someone else that my child never would have had life because of an abortion, most people would think that's because I was thinking about aborting her. But the reality of my daughter's life is that she wouldn't have had life because my own biological mother chose to end mine. That's the kind of survivor I am.
Tell me what the situation was of your biological mother at the time.
She was 19 years old, and she was a college student. She was unmarried, and what I've learned over the course of time is that she had dated my biological father for over 4 years before they became pregnant with me. And I always like to share that with people because I think sometimes people think abortions only take place in certain kinds of relationships. And what we know is that abortions take place in all sorts of committed relationships. People who have been together for decades, abortions still take place in those kind of relationships. And so they were unmarried, they were college students. I have no doubt they were scared to death about what they were going to do about me. I can only guess that maybe my mother felt like she didn't know how she could do it all. And of course, I've learned over time that it was her own family, most likely her father, my grandfather, that coerced her into having the abortion.
In the summer of 1977, Melissa's mother was admitted to St. Luke's Hospital in Sioux City, Iowa, with the intention of aborting her daughter. After acquiring her medical records years later, Melissa has been able to piece together the events of those early days. She found her entry into this world was anything but easy.
I was born on August 29th of 1977 after a 5-day onslaught of a saline infusion abortion. And for people who aren't aware of what that is, a saline infusion abortion actually involves injecting a caustic salt solution into the amniotic fluid that surrounds the fetus. And the intent of that salt solution is to scald the fetus to death from the outside in. And so over that 5-day period, I was subjected to that salt solution, and my biological mother was given rounds of Pitocin to induce her labor with me and ultimately dispel my dead body from her womb.
Surviving the effects of a saline abortion was a miracle in itself. Thinking they had just performed a successful abortion, the abortionists were in for a surprise when baby Melissa started moving. But still premature, Melissa was in need of intense medical care. Thankfully, a few nurses stepped in to save her life.
From what I've been told, they did leave me on the bedside table for dead, believing, obviously, that I should be dead. And they tended to my biological mother. And as they were caring for her, I started to make some small grunting noises and some movements. And the nurse stepped in and they started to provide me with that medical care.
So what was supposed to be an intended death turned around in a heartbeat, so to speak.
Absolutely.
What was your prognosis then during those first critical hours?
Pretty poor. pretty poor. And even not just for those few hours, it was for days, it was for weeks, and literally, I would say probably for years, the prognosis was not good for my life. I weighed about 2 pounds and 14 and a half ounces after I was born. I had jaundice, I had severe respiratory distress, I had seizures. There's a lot of information there about having lots of blood transfusions, that there were days where I was not doing well, but the doctors and nurses always stepped in and provided me with the medical care that I needed, and I owe my life to them. I really, truly do. There's lots of children like me, and we read it in the news every day, of another child like me who can survive, who has survived, and they aren't provided medical care at all, or not soon enough, and they aren't given the opportunity to have a life like I have.
To see you come out so apparently physically unscathed, are there any problems or repercussions that you deal with today?
I have very poor eyesight, which is pretty normal for children who are as premature as I was. So we can't say for sure that that's a result of the abortion attempt, just likely a premature birth complication. I have asthma, and again, that could be because of the prematurity and being on oxygen, or it could be something that is genetic for all I know. But those are really the only real major problems that I've had.
After learning about her history as an abortion survivor, Melissa contacted some of the nurses and doctors who took care of her at St. Luke's Hospital. She had a chance to meet one of the nurses a few years later, and a comment she made shocked Melissa.
We had corresponded back and forth all these years, and so I just had questions for her about what she knew when I arrived at the hospital and what kind of care I received. She took me on a tour of the neonatal facility, and of course it's far beyond anything it was back then, but it was really, it was a great piece of closure, I think, for me to see where I had been cared for. But, you know, even though I had had this relationship with that nurse all this time, she even said to me, you know, Melissa, sometimes I don't know that this can be true because I don't understand why they saved your life. Mm. For a nurse to say that, even though she knew that that was the pretense under which I came in, she was still struggling with the fact that they saved my life, because they've said I was a liability. It would have been much easier to just let me die.
You're listening to a Life Issues radio special, Snatched from Death, Melissa's Story. She was an unborn child who survived a saline abortion and is now speaking out, as is her adoptive mother, with whom our host Brad Mattis also had a chance to speak.
Linda and Ron Cross were living a contented life, already blessed with one adopted daughter, but they still felt a calling to have another child, so they began the lengthy process of adopting a second baby. 4 years later, they were introduced to one-month-old Melissa. Linda recounts how their lives were changed forever.
We had one child at that time, 4 years old. We were ready for another one. It was time to have a playmate, to have another child. Our social worker had called and said that they had a little baby girl and that we could go visit her in the Iowa City hospitals. They told us that the mother had went in and tried to abort her, and it was an unsuccessful abortion. And so we drove about 5 hours to go see her.
What was your reaction when they told you that she had survived an abortion? What did you think you were going to see?
I didn't have any fear of anything, of what we might see. They were just really upfront about everything, that she could have some mental problems and physical problems, and we still wanted to go see her.
So take us back to when you first saw Melissa.
Wow. Very, very tiny. Her head was shaved from temple to temple because she was too little to suck. And so they had to feed her intravenously. She was beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Was it love at first sight?
Oh, absolutely. She was such a miracle baby, and when she was born, they didn't think she was going to survive, so they set her aside, laid her aside, and thought she was going to die, and had so much willpower that that's when they hooked her up intravenously to start feeding her. So I think just knowing a little bit of her background then and knowing that she was a survivor, she's a tough one, you know, and she was going to make it. She was going to make something out of herself.
Did you struggle with any feelings toward the biological mother?
At first, maybe a little of how she could do this, because I wanted a child so badly and I couldn't have one. And yet it was hard for me to understand why she wanted to abort the child instead of just putting her up for adoption, you know, by carrying her full term. But then as it went on, as the years went on, I wanted to thank her for letting me be a part of her life.
If you could speak to her now, what would you say to her?
That she missed out on so much. Of an awesome child. Of a young lady. And what she has become.
Linda, how has this impacted you as a mother, having a child that you know was aborted, intended to be killed, but survived for some reason, and you were chosen to be that child's mother?
Changed me.
In what ways?
That I appreciated her survival, to know that I was part of that, to make her, I didn't make her who she is today, I helped her be who she is today. Made me a better person.
Melissa's story of survival and the love of adoption is a powerful one. A life that could have ended in tragedy has grown into one of strength and love.
My adoptive parents fell in love with me when they first laid eyes on me, and I always like to joke around. You know, my mother always says that I was the most beautiful baby she's ever seen, and I've seen pictures of myself. I don't think I was beautiful. I was scrawny. My head was shaved because I couldn't suck from a bottle. You know, I was a weak child, but they thought I was beautiful. And my mom always tells the story of the first time she held me, she knew that I was going to be okay. And that's love.
When did you find out about the abortion piece of your life?
I found out when I was about 14 years old. I was in the eighth grade. And what had actually happened was my older sister became pregnant as a high school student. And I didn't know it at the time, but she was considering having an abortion. And so our parents told her about my survival in the hopes that she would choose life for her child. We were fighting, as usual, as a couple of teenage girls can do. And in the middle of this argument that we were having that night, she spun around in the middle of the argument and she shouted at me and she said, "At least my parents wanted me." And I was 14 and, of course, very witty. And so I was ready to spin around and say something back to her. And when I spun around to say something, her face just fell. And that was very uncharacteristic of her because she liked to fight with me. And so I became worried. And she started off, and we had this kind of conversation back and forth for a while. She said, "You don't know, do you?" And so we bantered a little bit back and forth. "Of course I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about." And finally she just said, "Wait up for mom tonight and you'll see." And I did, very anxiously. And so when mom came home that night, I told her about the fight that we had had. And just like my sister's face fell, so did my mom's. And I knew that something major was going to happen, but I never in a million years could have imagined that this was the awful truth.
So we talked about it a lot. I was very honest, very open with her about everything because this is her life. She has a right to know. And so it was pretty traumatic, but we had good talks.
What was your reaction to the truth?
I was really, really angry. To know that I was adopted was always such a beautiful thing, and I always felt so important. And then to find out that someone thought they needed to end my life, that they couldn't just choose adoption for me, I was so angry by that, and really probably more hurt than anything.
Well, that's baggage that not your average 14-year-old has to carry.
Yeah.
So how did you handle that?
My family was always so supportive of me. I was getting confirmed that year, and so my church was really a great outlet for me. My school was really supportive. I was able to give speeches. I went to speech contests and spoke about abortion. You know, it was something that people really didn't fault me for and didn't have me be quiet about. I certainly, being 14 years old, was really, really cautious about who I told. And really, up until about the time I was 30, I was still very, very careful about who I told because I was embarrassed. I was really embarrassed for a long time, and I was ashamed. And I did feel guilty for surviving when I know that tens of millions of children haven't been that lucky.
How has that shaped her life to know that she was aborted but survived?
Into a fabulous young lady that she is right now, very strong.
Do you think it gave her that strong will and determination that you know that she has now?
From the day she was born, yes. That's why her will to live was. There was a purpose for why she was going to do this and share what she has to offer.
Have you ever seen her struggle with the reality of how she was conceived?
Yes.
How so?
Yes. Because I think she questions sometimes why she is here. She knows now that there is a purpose of why she is here.
So when did the guilt go away and the shame, the embarrassment?
You know, it was a process. I can't ever say that there was one particular point in time that it all went away. I can tell you that the anger subsided really quickly.
What do you attribute that to?
Faith. And knowing that I'm not their judge or jury. And that we all make mistakes as human beings, some greater than others. But they all have repercussions. And I've never met a woman who wanted that abortion and said, I want to end my child's life. You know, it's about, I need to take care of what I see as a problem. I got to make this go away. I need to be able to move on with my life. I've never heard someone say, I really want to kill my child. I believe in my heart that that isn't something ever that my biological mother could have wanted.
You're listening to Snatched from Death, Melissa's Story, a Life Issues radio special with your host, Brad Mattis.
Melissa Oden's life story is anything but conventional. At the age of 14, she learned she was the survivor of a failed saline abortion. This shocking news completely changed her outlook on life. After many years of healing, Melissa was finally able to share her story. Melissa now travels around the country telling her story in the hope women facing a crisis pregnancy won't make the same decision as Melissa's birth mother.
It completely changed my world because even at the time, in my heart I knew I was pro-life. In my head I was struggling because I was very much a young little budding feminist and I really felt like women should have a choice about their bodies. And so to suddenly realize what my reality was, it completely changed my world forever because it was never about someone's choice anymore. It's about somebody's right to life. And for me as a woman, I would have never had life if someone else's choice would have been successful.
After several years of healing, Melissa Oden was finally able to grapple with her tragic past as an abortion survivor. Then during her freshman year of college, Melissa decided to begin the lengthy process of searching for her birth parents. After nearly 12 years, she was able to locate her father in May of 2007. To Melissa's surprise, she discovered her biological father was living in the very same city.
I prayed about it for a couple of months because here I had been trying to have this happen for so long. And then to finally have it dropped in your lap, I really didn't know what to do. And I didn't want to make any mistakes. And so I ended up sending him a letter that summer. And I just let him know that I was alive and well, that I knew about the attempt to end my life and that I'd forgiven him a long time ago. And that here I was living in the same city that he was, if he ever wanted to contact me and have a relationship.
And did you hear from him?
I never did. And that was incredibly difficult. All those months went by and, you know, days turned into weeks, turned into months, and I had kind of given up hope of ever hearing from him. And one night I Googled his name. Something came up from our local newspaper, and it was actually his obituary. He had passed away right around the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. That's not a coincidence.
Now, you reached out to his parents, is that right?
That was not an easy decision for me to make, but I wanted to hopefully bring them some peace, to know that even though they had lost my father, that a piece of him was still alive and well in this world. But what I didn't know is that while I went kind of searching for them, they came searching for me. When my father passed away, they went to his office to clean out his desk and gather his belongings. And when they cleaned out his desk, they found the letter that I had wrote him. It was tucked in his top desk drawer. And that means a lot to me. Because all those months, I had always wondered if he ever received the letter. And if he ever received the letter, if he believed that I was really his daughter. And if he believed that I was his daughter, if he was ever going to do anything about it. And so his family really believes that that was a big sign, that he knew, and that he was going to do something about it someday.
Now, if you could talk to your biological mother, and you were sitting face to face with her, what would you say to her?
That I'm sorry. That I'm sorry that she felt like that was the only choice she had to make. That I'm sorry that she's had to live her life full of pain and regret and secrets that I forgave her a long time ago. That I hope she's forgiven herself.
In the midst of traveling around the country and sharing her story, Melissa Oden has found time to start a family. She and Ryan, her husband of 5 years, are busy raising Olivia, their 2-year-old daughter. Melissa knows her history as an abortion survivor will always have an impact on her family. She's living proof abortion has a generational impact. Tell me about your life now.
Never been better. It really hasn't, you know. I think I struggled for many, many years with being a survivor and what that meant to me and my life. And, you know, I always felt like I've been given so much. Maybe someday it's all just going to end. And could it ever be any better than what it's been? And it does. It keeps getting better every single day. My husband and I had our first child on April 26th of 2008 at the very same hospital where my life was supposed to end.
Really?
Again, not a coincidence. I used to drive past that hospital and literally grip the wheel of my car just full of anguish. And now I drive past that hospital and smile because it holds the most beautiful memories of our life.
Yeah. How do you think this will impact Olivia's life?
I want her to know that this is who she is, and we need to be proud of who we are and the fact that we were given this incredible opportunity at life and to minister to other people. You know, everybody can learn from our lives. This is the true reality of abortion, that my husband would have never had a wife, and we never would have had that beautiful child that we have. And my adoptive parents never would have had a child. And now my biological family never would have had the opportunity to know me. You know, this is what abortion really looks like. I've started this foundation called For Olivia's Sake to help educate the world about the fact that Olivia deserved life just as much as I did. And so that's what For Olivia's Sake is about, is to really put a face to abortion and give people an opportunity to say that they hurt too and help them find ways to heal. Even though our story is pretty unique, we're not alone. You know, if we know that over 52 million children's lives have been ended by abortion, then we know that there are, what, literally hundreds of millions of children like our Olivia who never would have had a chance at life. We know that then there are hundreds of millions of parents who are grieving the loss of those children that never had life. And that's really what our ministry is about, is sharing with the world the true reality of abortion. That abortion impacts people across generations. You know, if you look at how many people in just my life have been affected by that abortion, it's astounding. And we know that that happens in families and communities every single day.
Melissa Oden is a member of a very exclusive group, one of the few who have actually survived an abortion procedure. Although Melissa's biological parents intended to end her life, God had other plans. Melissa and her family take abortion out of the abstract realm and put a real-life face on it. You can't hear her story without being reminded of the staggering loss of precious life due to abortion's legalization. Over 3,000 babies die every day. At Life Issues Institute, we'll continue to tirelessly work to share the truth about abortion. We ask for your prayers and support, and with God's help, look forward to the day when innocent life is once again cherished and legally protected.
Meanwhile, we're pleased to offer you a two-part DVD set on which today's special has been based. You can receive it free at lifeissues.org, where you'll also find many other helpful pro-life resources. The video from our Emmy Award-winning TV program, Facing Life Head On, includes additional footage we weren't able to include today. Just log on to lifeissues.org and request your free DVD set today while supplies last.
Thanks for listening. I'm Brad Mattis, encouraging you to stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.